Today, Joe Biden has requested an absurd amount of your money for everyone all over the world all at once. And World War III might be starting, so naturally, Joe is on vacation again. We've got all of that and more coming up, and it all starts right now. Welcome to the news and why it matters. I am Sarah Gonzalez. And yes, I am actually welcoming myself back because I took a day off on Friday. Happy to be back here. So much that happened over the weekend. So let's get right on into it. The Biden administration's Office of Management and Budget sent Congress an emergency supplemental funding package request to aid Ukraine, Israel, and to increase security at the southern border on Friday morning. They are asking for $105 billion in total. This includes $61.4 billion for Ukraine, $14.3 billion for Israel, $10.6 billion allocated for military aid, specifically for Israel, and $13.6 billion for border protection. It's actually our border, I'm told, this time, instead of other people's, which I guess maybe is progress. I'm not sure. But Senator Tom Cotton has called this request dead on arrival, according to his press release. He says that we're not going to do it. Now, I don't know that I buy into Republicans' abilities to say no when it comes to spending more of your taxpayer money. I'd like to get a I'd like to get the word from our guests. I think I know what they're going to say as well. I'd like to welcome to the program Eric July, Blaze TV contributor and founder and owner of Ripaverse Comics, along with Matthew Peterson, editor-in-chief of Blaze Media. You know, it's tough talk, right? This DOA, dead on arrival. We're not doing it.
You have no idea what we think, okay?
That's fair. You could totally surprise me. But I don't know. I mean, it's just that they've typically had absolutely no problem continuing to spend more and more and more and more of this money that happens to be yours, that you've worked very hard for. And they take it and they steal it from you and they ship it off to Ukraine and all of these other places. So I don't know. I'm like, really? $105 billion in foreign aid? That's a bridge too far for you now? It didn't seem to be previously.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, of that, in terms of the money being allocated, the least amount of it is going to the country, like as in the U.S., as far as its border, right? Mm. Correct. Because you had like 60 going to Ukraine, and then you got Israel, which they, I think there's what, two different forms of aid that they're giving them, and then they're going to be providing the rest to the southern border, which is what, 13 million. So mm-hmm. It does seem like that's the least amount, which goes to show you what they're actually prioritizing there,
right,
as a country. Look, I'll say this much. Let me say this.
We got the swear jar here for a reason.
I despise, that's true. I obviously am not much of a fan of like even the presidency in terms of its office in general. The one job it is that we're supposed to, you know, be led that they actually have is to handle stuff like this in regards to foreign affairs. Now, of course, the issue that I take exception to is, of course, they're stealing from everybody endless amounts of money that they don't actually have. We already know this. So it's funny that they worded like emergency, because that seems mm-hmm. to authorize it. Like, hey, we weren't going to spend it. Yeah, you were. You always were. And all the money is emergency because you don't have it. Mm-hmm. Right. It's not there. You've blown through whatever money you thought you had. You are now selling off assets of unborn children is essentially what's happening right now. This is how it's historically worked, and it's gotten progressively, for lack of better terms, worse. Right. I love what you bring up, because you bring up the fact that you can't really trust Republicans historically to say no, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to spending. That's the one thing that they seem to be able to agree on. It's never about how much they're spending.
Right.
It's more of we're arguing about where the money's going to.
Where
it's going to go to is more of the argument. But they're going to spend the money, and they'll vote to give themselves raises in the event that, let's say, it starts actually impacting the money when you combine the Federal Reserve and the Treasury and the fact that they continue to devalue. Everybody's hurting right now. We know that, regular people. They can vote to give themselves raises. So that's the only thing. I love this term that people bring up of what they say, like catch up to inflation, or let's say something of that nature. It shows that the most American people have no idea of what the concept of inflation actually is. There's no keeping up with inflation. That's precisely the point and why it is the way that it is. However, there are groups of people that can vote for them, vote basically themselves to a race to catch up. It ain't you.
Right.
It's them.
Right.
So they will continue to spend this money on other people, foreign aid and what have you. And it's unfortunate. It's very unfortunate because I don't believe nothing cotton sand. I don't believe anything that they say, because eventually, I mean, even happened with the last president, when it comes down to it, they'll sign off on it. And hundreds of, I almost said millions. What am I talking about? Millions, billions, perhaps trillions.
Trillions.
Sometimes is going to be going to a place that you don't want it to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I keep on envisioning while you're talking the person who's right at the money printer, just printing out the money. I'm trying to keep up with inflation.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how to break it to you. Yeah, so Cotton, to his credit, said he was against this.
Yeah, which I appreciate, now, and I believe him. I'd like to make that clear.
The only line that I've seen in reports about this is that he's against it because it funds, you know, Hamas, and the money will be used for terrorism, which is legit. Everyone has their reason. Even John Cornyn, I see, was against this because he wants you to know that there's, in fact, a crisis on the border. And Senator Cornyn's very concerned about that, and this doesn't address it enough.
Which border? Ukraine's?
Yeah, this would, no, actually Texas. He actually...
Really?
Yes, he said something about Biden's border crisis, which is very interesting. I didn't know he knew about what was going on on the Texas border, but he does.
He must have just learned about that.
Yes. Shockingly, someone informed him this year. But so they're all kind of taking little snipes, little pieces of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think... you know, that's good politics for them. But as we know, right, there's no faith and confidence in standing up. They'll dicker and deal with this. I what pains me about it is, and my hope is that people who are younger realize this shouldn't be normal. I can remember when, yes, they were spending money, but it wasn't normal to just say, oh yeah, billions here and billions there, complete raiding the treasury all the time. And my hope is that it's such a clown show that people who are younger are looking at it going, like, this is all fake. I mean, this is all just, they're just printing money and shipping it out the door. You know, this is a clown show. It's not serious. This is not serious.
Right. So it's really frustrating to me, too, that they always do this crap where they're lumping so many different causes all in together.
Oh, yeah.
What, like... It's just.
Did they give it a fancy name for the bill? What was it? Something like this? Usually, what
probably,
it is they do.
Yeah, it'd be probably.
Like, here's the anti-lynching bill.
Right, right.
And throw all sorts of weird stuff in there.
Yeah. Well, just like the Inflation Reduction Act, which is
did the opposite.
Just for like green energy and solar powered panels on your house. And you're like, wait, how does this help me pay my bills because of inflation?
Yeah,
but it's just so frustrating because they're like, ring, 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 emergency, 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 emergency in Ukraine and in Israel and at our border. And at, like, these are not all happening at the, like, some of these have been happening much longer than others. And now all of a sudden it's an emergency and you have to lump every single one of your special interests together and expect us to just accept it. And it's time that people stood up in Congress, our leaders stood up and said, like, hey, let's vote on all of these, but separately. I'd like the opportunity to vote on whether or not we can send money to Israel. And by the way, whether or not that includes money that's sent into Gaza, which, don't worry, they super duper pinky promise that Hamas won't get a hold of those funds. I would like to vote on whether or not, you know, we are sending more money into Ukraine and what the end goal is there. I would also like to vote on whether or not I would like to send money to the southern border for a crisis that has been happening for a very long time. And I don't just mean the terrorists and the bad people who are crossing into this country. I also mean the fentanyl that is pouring in and killing record numbers of Americans. I would like the opportunity to vote on all of these things separately, and I would like for all of my colleagues to be on record of what their position is on all of these separate issues. I would love for that to be a thing that actually happened in Congress. Unfortunately, it's not. But when we're talking about what's going on in Ukraine and how much ridiculous amounts of money we've spent there for, again, seemingly like we don't, what's the end game? What is the objective here? It was the same thing with COVID, right? It was like, well, so you got to wear a mask. Well, we got to stop the spread. And it's like, okay, so it's never going to be zero cases. So what is the number? What is the objective? What is the goal for you guys to allow us to continue living in society freely? What is the number? They can never give it. They can never give their actual objective because it's not about an objective. So in Ukraine, now there is news coming out. Put up David Sacks' tweet. So David Sacks said, confirmed, former German leader Gerhard Schroeder confirms that a peace deal could have been made at Istanbul. Ukrainian officials were willing to accept neutrality, but this was rejected by the Biden administration in Washington. This was quoting a tweet that said just that. Said, ex-leader of Germany confirms revelations by ex-Israeli PM and Ukrainian media. At the peace negotiations in Istanbul in March 2022, the Ukrainians did not agree on peace because they were not allowed to. For everything they discussed, they first had to ask the Americans. I had two talks with Umarov, then a one-on-one meeting with Putin, and then with Putin's envoy. Umarov opened the conversation with greetings from Zelensky. And it goes on and on and on. And it says, my impression was that nothing could happen because everything else was decided in Washington. That was fatal because the result will now be that Russia will be tied more closely to China, which the West should not want. They tell you that the objective is to, well, they don't tell you, right? But the objective is to spend as much money of yours as possible. And for what? They could have had peace here, according to this ex-German official. They didn't want it. What does that tell you about your leaders?
What does that tell you about government? I mean, that's just kind of how it works. They see an opportunity. It's a problem. Per se, and they will spin into the oblivion. I mean, to bring this back more closer to home, like to your point with COVID, I think that we saw all mm-hmm. that, where there was no true end game, mm-hmm. and the solution was what I'd been screaming at this round table the entire time, mm-hmm. but it didn't stop them from spending several billions of dollars and, yeah, shutdowns and all that. But even still to this day, I know they're trying to renegotiate these deals with these jabs and stuff with taxpayer money that is going to these big pharmaceutical companies. So they do that type of stuff all the time where it's like, it's a problem.
Right.
Well, we can take advantage of this. And it sounds evil and sinister, maybe because it is. Maybe it's not sexy. But it's the truth. It's just it's advantageous to those that are in charge. Maybe it's lining up the pockets of their cronies. Maybe that's all to be considered. And maybe they're just evil pieces of crap. I don't know.
I think that one's probably.
I mean, all the above. Yeah. There's plenty to go around. I mean, there's something I think that is particularly evil about this when you think about the fact that for some reason, we want everyone to think that we've always been at war with East Asia. I mean, this is Orwellian. I mean, we've mm-hmm. always been at war. We have to continue fighting this war. Why exactly is never clear. Russia's bad, but the Ukraine has been like a giant, you know, whale carcass that all the sharks are just eating mm-hmm. off of. Mm-hmm. We've been making money there for a long time. A lot of people, both sides. And so you look at this and, you know, they don't even feel the need to state the objective anymore.
Right.
They don't feel the need. It is like with COVID. We don't need to tell you what the end game is or what the actual plan is. So they're not dignifying you, anyone out there listening, as if you're a human being and a citizen. And, you know, they're eroding any kind of semblance of Republican form of government we have left. It's a joke. They package it all together. Like you said, to keep the money going, and they're not telling you why it's going. And what we know for sure, though, is that that tweet wasn't false, that
right.
there could have been brokered peace in different ways. And, you know, mileage may vary and what you think should happen over the course of the last year. They're not interested.
Right.
And they're look at how excited they seem yeah. about war in the Middle East. That's what really disgusts me. I mean, they seem really excited about what's going on. And that's fine if you're like addicted to social media and you watch too much news and you're like, you know, you get some adrenaline rush. But these people are in charge of the free world.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of that, let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, I want to kind of get into, because we've been kind of touching on the Ukrainian aspect of all of the spending, let's actually switch to the Middle East and Iran and what's going on in Israel and how that's playing out. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Birch Gold. So last month, the G20 announced a plan to impose digital currencies and digital IDs on their respective populations. And that would, you know, central bank digital currency is essentially going to allow government to track every purchase you make. They could even allow officials to prohibit you from purchasing certain products or easily freeze or seize part or all of your money. And so the government could take control over your finances, which, if you think they wouldn't do it, I don't know. Look over at Canada when Justin Trudeau did that to the truckers. So if you are concerned that that might trickle into America, you need to talk to Birch Gold about diversifying your assets into physical gold. If you want a physical asset held in a tax-sheltered retirement account, you really need to call Birch Gold as well. But learn for yourself. Okay, text the word Y to 989898. They're going to send you a free information kit on gold. And it's very, very easy if you have an IRA, 401k from a previous employer that's just gathering dust. Birch Gold can help you convert it into an IRA in gold. You're not going to pay a penny out of pocket. Text the word Y to 989898. Again, there's no obligation for this info kit. They're just going to send it to you. You can read it, and then you can decide whether or not you want to call them because, you know, if digital currency becomes a reality, it'd be nice, a little nice to have some gold to fall back on. You can text the word Y to 989898. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken told NBC News this weekend, switching gears and talking. There's just so many like worldwide conflicts. It's hard to talk about them all at once. You get confused with which war you're talking about here. So speaking of the Middle East and things that, you know, are happening in Israel with their battle against Hamas, I want to play Secretary Anthony Blinken saying that I'm actually pretty concerned about a likelihood of escalation by Iranian proxies directed at us. Watch.
How concerned are you about Iran trying to escalate this war?
We are concerned. In fact, we expect that there's a likelihood of escalation by Iranian proxies directed against our forces, directed against our personnel. We are taking steps to make sure that we can effectively defend our people and respond decisively if we need to.
Awesome. He is concerned about a likelihood of escalation by Iranian proxies. You know who else is concerned about that? Me, because I've seen how they operate over at the top. I've seen how our military operates now. I am also actually very concerned that nobody knows what the hell they're doing in the administration. But also, I mean, we are talking about American forces. We are talking about our military. What degree of confidence do you guys have in their ability to, I don't know, get involved in World War III if this does happen?
I mean, I don't know what it'll be, if it'll be World War III or whatever it will be. But for sure, if that does end up happening, oh, yeah, I mean, they're going to do whatever they need to do or want to do
But listen. Our military is now advertising for like lesbians and
that doesn't actually win conflicts at all.
I don't think we're attracting the best here, Eric.
No, they're not sending their best at all. But even so, I mean, just the idea of perpetual war, I mean, we've kind of become accustomed to that, especially in our lifetimes in the Middle East. So do they need a reason? I mean, even if they lose or whatever, I mean, we see what happened. We saw what happened with Afghanistan. And it was basically a colossal waste of everybody's time over the years because you didn't get the result that, I guess, publicly that was desired. Maybe you got it, but you know, yes, the ulterior motives at play. So this could be another one of those deals. That's when they say stuff like that, I start to, you know, want to pay attention to if they're going to set, I hate to be the conspiracy theorist here, right? Because look, guys, false flags are not just, hey, they're going to go like attack themselves. It's one of those situations where they may know something is about to unfold. And because desired outcome, they might not act accordingly to either mitigate it because they want the optics of that, oh, this is bad. Now our actions are justified. Mm. And here we are in yet another perpetual, we've always been in sort of this perpetual war, but this is yet another one kind of adding to it that'll be happening out there between the Middle East and America.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, I mean, we don't have a shortage of examples in history, you know, to say, to talk about the dangers of escalation. And I think that no one should be condemned for not trusting the authorities at this point, because they haven't shown themselves to be trustworthy. So the thing that makes everyone nervous and should make everyone nervous is that you are in a powder keg situation, right? The Middle East always has been this way. It's never changed. For some reason, I think we thought we transcended it by getting used to always having troops there for 20 years.
Right.
And so now it's fine if we're in the mix, we're used to that, and we think that that's normal, we just send extra checks to everyone right away. But I think what makes the situation different is that, you know, the ancient hatreds are rising, and you have many different players in a very complicated situation, which at best would require serious statesmanship, like a real understanding of the situation and the outcome, a clear mission objective, understanding the outcome is peace. The outcome is, you know, not destroying the world and getting us out of it. You don't have that trust with our leaders anymore. So the problem is that this is the same, if not worse, complication as any of the worst things we've seen in the past, as far as complicated scenarios where there's multiple actors in a world with multiple poles, and you have basically morons in charge or technocrats who think that who seem very glib about the whole thing. They think they know what ought to be done. They've been proven wrong time and time again. They don't be able to seem to learn from their mistakes. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know how. I feel the same way. I mean, I look at this and I get very nervous logically.
Yeah.
I don't really feel a lot of emotion about this stuff because I have to look at it every day. Mm-hmm. And I just try not to let it get me too down. We're still doing all kinds of good stuff, you know, here and whatever. So I keep on the positive side. But what makes me, you know, logically nervous here is just you got a powder keg complicated situation and you got the people that we do on top. Mm-hmm. And the fiddler's going to be paid at this point, you know. That's the vibe you get. And it's alarming. And I think it's alarming not just me, but millions of other people.
Well, I would tend to agree with you, especially when, you know, as far as what's going on with Israel and that conflict, there's still American hostages that the president of the United States doesn't seem to care about because he's vacationing on the beach again over the weekend. So, you know, and I know the reporters were asking him, like, hey, what about the American hostages? Are you concerned about that? And clearly, the answer is no, right? I appreciate you trying to get the question in, but I think that that goes without being said. Mm-hmm. He's walking on the beach with his wife after he's already taken record amounts of vacation time during, I don't know, not a very stable time period in this country. Is there a question on whether or not he cares, or if he's concerned about American hostages, if he's concerned about record levels of fentanyl pouring into the country, if he's concerned about all of the illegal immigrants coming into the country, if he's concerned about inflation? Clearly the answer is yes. Otherwise he would be at work. But then you go, do I want Joe Biden making more decisions? What is the best outcome here? What is preferred? Do you want Joe Biden actually there giving his dementia riddled input on things, or do you want him on vacation? I don't even know that I have an answer at this point. And you know it's gotten bad when 50 Cent, the rapper 50 Cent, this is an Instagram post, posted this caption: Biden hits the beach with Middle East Congress in chaos. And he even says, hey Joe, get the F up, we in trouble, man. That's when you know, you've lost 50 Cent. Which with inflation, I don't even know what 50 Cent would be. But when you've lost 50 Cent, you're not doing really well. I can tell you that much. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break. We'll be back with more, but we want to thank our sponsor, Patriot Mobile. So Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And if you're still giving your money to Big Mobile, the top three, you know, mobile companies, stop doing that. Patriot Mobile is going to give you the same dependable nationwide coverage. You get access to all three major networks, so you get the same coverage that you've been accustomed to without funding the left, because what Big Mobile is doing is they're taking a portion of your money and they are funding causes that you, if you're watching this program, I would assume that you're fighting against. Well, Patriot Mobile is actually going to do the opposite. They are taking a portion of that money and they are using it to support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. They also have 100% U.S.-based customer service. It's going to make switching very, very easy. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. When you call their customer service, you can understand what they're saying, which is really nice when you want to have a conversation. You can keep your number, you can keep your phone, or you can upgrade. Do the deal however you would like at Patriot Mobile. And by the way, they're probably going to save you some money as well. So there's no reason not to go check them out. It is patriotmobile.com/news. You can get free activation with the offer code news. That is patriotmobile.com/news. So Jim Jordan has withdrawn his candidacy application. Did you fill out an app? I don't know. But he has withdrawn his candidacy for Speaker of the House. And there are now 9 Republicans running for House Speaker. And I just already want to, like, jam a fork in my ear or something so we don't have to deal with this. This is, again, I feel like I have to reiterate. At the time when Matt Gaetz did this, I said, I'm on board with you, buddy. Like, I get it. I agree with you to a certain extent. But what's the plan? It would be nice to know the plan. And we gave them the benefit of the doubt at the time that it was like, okay, maybe there's a plan and we just don't know it yet. Maybe there's a plan and there are some backroom deals being made, right? And that we just can't be privy to because it just, the process has to play out just the right way. And there's definitely going to be a plan, right? So it turns out there was no plan because no one's going to vote for Jim. Well, a lot of people voted for Jim Jordan, but not enough to get him over the hump. Obviously, the Democrats are going to vote for Hakeem Jeffries every single time we hold one of these votes. And so now we have 9 Republicans running for Speaker of the House in Congress. So I want to go through some of the candidates here. This is Jack Bergman from Michigan, who gets a 57% Liberty score from Conservative Review. And Byron Donalds, okay, from Florida, he has a 100% Liberty score. Tom Emmer from Minnesota, he is the House Majority Whip. He has a 69% Liberty score. Kevin Hearn from Oklahoma, 82% Liberty score. Mike Johnson from Louisiana, 74%. Dan Muser, Pennsylvania, 68%. Gary Palmer, Alabama, 80%. Austin Scott, Georgia, 65%. And Pete Sessions here in Texas at 63%. Eric is laughing at Pete Sessions.
He's a jokester, man.
Do you know what my husband was like, wait, I thought Pete Sessions got voted out. I was like, he did, and he just, like, moved districts, and now he's back, baby. You know these people don't like to.
You don't like the experience? Pete Sessions, tan, rested, ready? No. Oh,
yeah, 63% Liberty score? No. Mm-mm. I don't love that, Matt. So I want to play here. I want to get your thoughts, but I want to play here Byron Donalds, who, was kind of making his case for why he wanted to be Speaker. Here's some of that. Watch.
So what is your pitch to the GOP conference? What are your priorities?
My pitch is very simple. First, we got to get back to work immediately. We have to get these appropriation bills done. We must secure our border. If we're going to continue government funding, the border must be secured, and the White House has to realize that and take us seriously. Number two, we have a true ability to expand our majorities past this Congress. We can do that with strong, direct leadership where the White House knows where we stand. The American people see the strategies and the work that the Republican majority is trying to get done. I totally believe that. And number three, we can have unity in our conference. It's going to start with a fresh voice in leadership, working with all of our colleagues to accomplish the mission that our voters sent here to do.
If you become Speaker, will you release all of the January 6th footage?
I will, absolutely.
So, again, 100% Liberty score. Mm-hmm. Strong conservative. Apparently, like, identity politics matter to these people. So, like, he is also black, okay? That's bonus points, right? Don't worry, no one's going to question whether or not you're a racist because you voted for a black guy for speaker. So he checks all of the boxes, it seems like. And I can almost guarantee you they will not. I don't think they're going to vote for him.
Milquetoast. One of those guys who probably maybe had the little, maybe Pete Sessions will be, I don't know how. So. But look, man, I don't got any sort of faith in any of these guys. You know, anybody that is in Congress, there's only really two to my knowledge that lead with, hey, guys, we spend way too much money and that's not good.
Who is that?
You got Massey and you got Rand Paul. If you want to throw Lee in there, maybe.
Yeah.
But those are the only Gates. He'll go there every now and then. And people like think of him as a liberty-minded guy. But they're not radical enough for me. I'm just going to be completely honest. When I think radical, I'm thinking like Ron Paul or radical. Is what, I'm going to be honest, that's what this party needs more than anything right now. It is a shame, even though he's still going, he's still doing his thing with his Liberty Report, Ron Paul, that is, there's no message that's in Congress where, like, there's a guy that will look these guys in the eyes and tell them they suck. Mm-hmm. Even if they have an R next to their name, he'll tell them, you suck. Your voting record shows that you suck, and people need to be aware of that. Instead, I think we kind of look at, especially the House, maybe not as much the Senate because it's less of them, I guess. Yeah. But we look at these members as like this sort of a collective, and okay, one has R next to the name, one has a D next to the name, and the ones that have the R's next to the name, they're all in on it together, and vice versa with the Democrats. I'd argue that maybe the Democrats are a little more in unity than they are with the Republicans, but the lack of unity doesn't bother me. I wouldn't want to be unified with a bunch of crackheads.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, either way.
Exactly.
So that doesn't mean anything. You're a bad person, or you are a someone that advocates something that's antithetical to liberty. I don't want to be unified with you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's what is needed, is someone that's going to just be blunt with it. And look, if there's a conflict that has to come of it, whatever. I mean, I guess we're just going to have to bring it to light. And maybe then the American people can see that the people that they're putting in these positions are quacks, man. Like, most of them, like, I'm not even going to say, like, I think the majority is letting them off too easy. Almost all of them are quacks for the most part. I'm just being completely honest.
I agree, Matt.
Yeah, what you really think on the table. I mean, where do we even start here? I want to get to the particulars. In general, yeah, this is a sign of a dysfunctional party.
Mm-hmm.
I've been saying since 2016 that it was the GOP, the Gopperdammerung. You know, it's the end of a Republican Party as we've known it. That's
mm-hmm.
done.
Mm-hmm.
The question is whether you're going to get with the program and transform into something that is new, or whether you're going to go down with the ship. And this is a down with the ship sort of week, because regardless of why and wherefore, you now have 9 candidates running for speaker. You didn't have unanimous, like, you know, jumping for joy with the previous speaker because of this division within the party. And the fundamental reason, forget about all the D.C. shenanigans, the fundamental reason for this problem is that the people are being represented by legislators who don't represent them. That's it.
No.
This is about how people who vote Republican do not feel that they are represented by their supposed representatives. And there is a division within this party. So part of me, you know, I sort of thinks, look, why don't whatever percentage of you just join the Democrats right now? You're part of the unit party anyway.
True.
Right.
Now, the only problem with that is, of course, I don't really want a nationalized one-party system, but we're getting close to it, and that's been the Democratic dream from the very beginning. California is the model. You have one party. You get rid of even the pathetic, you know, the pathetic division we have now. So there's even less division, and that's not good for anybody. So when this, you know, when this came out, when Donald started speaking, you know, I'm looking at the congressman thinking, what would my answer be if someone asks, you know, what defines your candidacy or whatever? What are you going to do? I mean, it kind of goes to what you said. The first thing that came to my mind was, how about I just don't suck?
Yeah.
I'm not going to suck, right? I'm not going to do stupid. I'm going to be on your side. Is there any way in heck that they'll vote for him? No, probably not. But, you know, I mean, so the only way to survive this is you do have to get a little bit Elmo meme, you know, just go with the fire behind you, like just enjoy the chaos, because the only way out is through, and the only way the Republicans are going to learn is if this kind of stuff keeps happening, because it really is a sign of real dysfunction in D.C. right now. And it drives me nuts because I got all kinds of things riding on this, including footage that I want to show from January 6th that I'm supposedly not allowed to show unless we get approval from, you know, the right staffers to fill out the right reports. And they can't, they feel like they don't have the authority now because there's no speaker. Right. And so, and
which
this is
weird because, yeah. I mean, there is a temporary speaker. Why can't he do it?
I think it's because there's a lot of people who are concerned about the repercussions to themselves.
Right.
And also where the authority, you know, actually lies, yeah, in this situation. But we're on it. We're on it.
Okay,
we won't. Our moderation won't last forever. And I think ultimately we will use the footage we have and hopefully get more. But, you know, that is riding in the balance. I think right now, when I look at what's going on, it is very unlikely, highly unlikely, that a lot of these guys who will probably get in there will show let anyone see any of the footage. They'll just lock it all up, yeah, and the lies will continue.
Yeah. One more quick note on this. When it was announced that Byron Donalds was running for speaker, the lack of self-awareness in this chick is tremendous. AOC tweeted out, Donalds has only served one full term in the House. Honey, you were a bartender. No experience. You were a bartender. So maybe let the adults talk. And by the way, go get me a Jack and Diet while you're at it. We got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more. But we want to thank our sponsor, Relief Factor. So, look, we've worked with Relief Factor for a very long time. There are a lot of us who, well, you know, when I started at Blaze, I considered myself young. And I've been here for so long that now I know personally about Relief Factor because I've reached the age where things just hurt. They just hurt. You roll out of bed and, you know, you'd like, I don't know, like break a hip. Not really. But I've had back problems. I know it's worked for Glenn. It's worked for me. It's worked for Jason Buttrell, who was in the military and did a number on his knees and couldn't run outside anymore and was just in pain. It really, really has worked for a lot of us and hundreds of thousands of other people who order Relief Factor every single month. In fact, they have this 3-week quick start that you can order if you are living in pain. And 70% of the people reorder it because it's working for them. So it's all natural. It's an anti-inflammatory, but it actually gets the root cause of your pain, which is inflammation. You got to go, if you're living in pain, go get the 3-week quick start. It's $19.95, and you can get it at relieffactor.com. That is relieffactor.com. So on the topic of these people that we've elected, I get into the trap of calling them leaders, and I hate every time I do it. I'm like, why am I calling? They're not leaders. This isn't what leadership is supposed to look like. But so these elected officials get a hold of this power, right? And you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and play it. I want to play Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, who is, of course, a long time in Congress from Texas in the Houston area, I believe. And there was a leaked audio that was released where she is just like absolutely awful to her staff, which is something that I would expect coming from these people. But it's just amazing to actually hear. Here's some of that.
You took a piece of paper from that woman regarding something that was over at Duncanville. Where is it? What date was it?
All from yesterday. Jerome took it upstairs. I have to call him. He took it up when I switched out the paper. I'll call him.
I don't want you to do a thing. I want you to have a brain. I want you to have read it. I want you to say Congresswoman, it was such and such date. That's what I want. That's the kind of staff that I want to have. So some stupid other mother did it, and I don't have the information. Nobody sent me the information. I need to ensure my schedule, and, you know, if Boo-Boo did it, ass did it, face did it, and nobody knows a thing in my office. Okay? Nothing. I gave it to you. Your job was to get it on the calendar, imprint it in your brain, or send me the information back saying, Congresswoman, I made sure that the Ovid Duncanville event that you gave me for so-and-so date at 7 is on the calendar, not to, oh, Jerome has it.
Okay, so when I called Jerome, he only sit up there like a fat ass stupid idiot talking about what the f- he doesn't know. Okay, both of y'all are f- up the f- f. It's the worst f- that I could have ever had put together. Two f- big ass children, f- idiots, serve no f- purpose. Ain't managing nobody, nobody's respecting them, nobody gives a f- about what you're doing. And you ain't doing f-. And this is an example of it. I gave it to Jerome. This is not child's work. Okay?
Kind of respected, to be honest.
28 years in Congress and is currently a leading candidate in the Houston mayoral race.
Kind of respect.
Do you?
That's about as honest that I've ever seen Sheila Jackson Lee.
That's fair.
Be right.
That's
she's,
fair.
She's giving it to him straight. I mean, again, it's leaked audio, so take that for whatever way that you may. But at least they have the capability, to be honest. It's just with their own staffers when they're pissed off.
Okay, that's fair. But, like, we were told by this same party, these same people, that we should not vote for Donald Trump because of mean tweets.
Oh, no.
And she's berating and verbally abusing her staffers, calling
fat-ass
them
Jerome, man.
Fat-ass and stupid. I mean,
they don't do crap.
Right.
No one's respecting that. You know, what she said was hard not to feel a little similar sentiment because I kind of feel like we should hire someone to say that to everyone in Congress.
True.
Well, yeah, but yeah, it should be being said to her.
You don't do bleep. Yeah. All that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ass, yeah. Well,
yeah. Exactly.
That,
it
yeah.
should be said to her, though. It's the problem. And these people are not.
That's also true.
They don't hold themselves to the standards that they set for you.
No.
And
no.
They also don't have. It seems they don't have any consequences. For the hypocrisy and for the, I mean, like, a Democrat would say that was horrible. You should sue if an employer talks to you that way, right? You can
True.
Sue your employer. Well, what do you do when it's a congresswoman?
It was kind of like, it's kind of like one of those, like, the Bad Santa movies or whatever. It's like, bad grandma goes to Congress. You know, like, she's out of control. She was just saying whatever came to her mind.
Yeah.
The sad part is.
She had it by then. She was pissed.
In the sad part, God, Jerome, if you would just do your damn job, she wouldn't have to talk to you like that.
Get it on the calendar.
Yeah, put it on a damn calendar, man.
I love
you
it.
You don't do ish.
I love it. I really wanted to play that and have you guys criticize her, and instead you guys are like, I mean, she kind of had a point.
My argument has long been that they don't do bleep. And she's just affirming what I believe. They don't do nothing there. The staffers don't do nothing. They don't do jack. They're just up there pretending. It's fake jobs. And she's essentially saying that. She can't even get stuff on her own damn calendar.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Just say it, man.
That's a good point. All right.
No, maybe she'd do more if friggin' Jerome.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Jerome is on the calendar.
Yeah. He just put it on the calendar. What is he doing?
Jerome is all, think of all the work that she could get done if Jerome would just put it on the calendar.
It's not child's work,
so,
Jerome.
Actually, I am rooting for Jerome to not put it on the calendar because I don't want her doing any work. I don't like anything she touches. So
oh, my God.
Good on you, Jerome. All right. We got to take a break. We'll be back. All right, I would like to present to you guys a TikTok of the ugliest and also dumbest white man ever. Go.
Seeing as melanin-deficient Europeans created whiteness in order to enslave Africans and commit wholesale genocide, yeah, whiteness needs to end.
Do you own a mirror? He's advocating for his own, You first, buddy, I guess. I don't know.
My main thing is just his beard needs to end. Like, that needs to end. Should be shaving off.
These people, they have no self-respect anymore. How can you walk around?
Self-hating white people are the worst.
They really are.
Jesus Christ, man. They are the absolute worst. They bore me to death, man. It's on social media talking about how much they hate themselves. It's just so boring, man.
It is very bizarre.
Because he's recording that thing and he done said something. He ain't said nothing. The words of Cela, you don't do nothing in the words of Cela Jackson Lee. Don't do ish.
This is not child's work.
Yes,
okay, buddy?
You can hurt yourself in private, please.
Yeah, thank you guys for being here. Oh my gosh.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.